Yeah, we did
Love
do it.
Talk Radio.
Okay, so then we're good. No reads.
Okay, I'm going to call Blog Talk.
Okay.
I hear Rob typing.
Okay, great. All right. So...
COVID leave off.
Okay, so
I'll mute. We should mute, right?
Yeah, I'm about to start the stream.
And Rob, you'll mute your microphone also, or no? Because sometimes, like for me, at least in the audio, it like kills it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'll mute it. Let me just test. Oh, I could mute everyone. Even better.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington. This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. This week, Ivan Moody started a YouTube series where he learns to play guitar. This is wonderful. Injection Livecast. Search from System of a Down says the band will never make new music because they can't see eye to eye. The live cast can relate. We will never see eye to eye on savory gelatinous food. I guess we'll just have to hello deal with it. I'm too much. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
All right, I don't know what that was with the intro. But you all saw me on YouTube. Be a little weird, but welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob here with Noah.
Hi.
And Darren.
Hi.
And Sid.
Hello.
And you can be a part of the show as well by giving us a call. 213-WIDE-NUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688. And, of course, if you need yourself a little extra live cast, you can always check out the Metal Injection Live Cast Patreon at patreon.com/Metal Injection Live Cast. We have so much great content on there. Every month we have at least one bonus episode, as well as access to all video episodes of the show. Since we've gone into quarantine, we've started doing video episodes, and you can see all of them in addition to hearing them. And there's a ton of other fun stuff. There's a visit to Tad's Steakhouse. Our featured bonus episode this month is we did a draft, a music draft, where each of us picked a band. We went around the horn and each picked a guitarist, a bassist, a drummer, a vocalist, and a lyricist. And we all picked super groups, and it came out really fun. And you can enjoy that for $5 a month at patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. Now that I've got the plugs out of the way, how's everyone's week been so far? How's our Memorial Day?
I didn't really feel like, it didn't feel like Memorial Day to me. Like, you know, I mean, a whole intrinsic thing is like going outside and grilling and all that stuff. So I don't, I feel like it was just another day for me. I don't know about you.
Same.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was Memorial Day weekend until Friday. And people were like, oh, are we working on Monday? And it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But I felt the same way. Like, there was no barbecues. There was no get-togethers. It was too cold to go to the beach here in New York. So it didn't really, I don't know.
Were people asking
like another,
you?
It felt like a second Sunday.
Were people asking you if they're working on Monday? Like writers on Metal Injection?
Or? Yeah. Like, are we posting on Monday?
So you have the power to give these people a day off or make them work on a holiday? I thought it was just sort of like whenever there's something to write, people write, and there's no set hours.
Yeah, there's no set hours.
So did
they
you
were
them
asking
off on
if we're
Monday?
Publishing. It's not like they have to be at the computer 24/7. They were just asking if we were publishing.
And were you?
We did like a few. It was like a weekend.
Okay.
Said he's being modest. Actually, he had to go around with his mask on to like four different people and like get the whip out. Get the fuck back to work, motherfucker.
I sort of feel like he's like the Jeff Bezos of metal, that he treats his employees similarly to how Amazon does.
Wow. Oh, do you make them wear shitting diapers, Rob?
Just for fun.
Yeah. Yeah, they even do a job that you could do on the toilet because it's just writing on the computer. You could do it on your laptop, but no, you insist on shitting diapers. You may not shit while writing for Metal Injection.
So many jokes. I'll refrain from them all.
For some reason. Oh, okay. Now Noah's unmuted.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Noah just cured cancer in that part. Like, it's gone.
I had the answer to COVID-19 and you guys
fucking Rob.
Missed it.
Sorry. No, how was your Memorial Day?
I wanted to tell you all about my primitive camping trip.
Okay,
as you can
go
see
ahead.
In my background.
Is that a live
photo?
You're
still there?
Yeah, I'm stuck.
But it's not seriously though, is that like a picture of you? Did you just grab a campsite off of it?
No, this is our campsite. This is our actual campsite from Memorial Day weekend.
Very nice.
So you were roasting on an open fire. You had the most Memorial Day-ish weekend of the four of us.
I think that's Christmas. They're roasting on an open fire.
Yeah.
Okay, holiday mixed up.
Well, did you do some grilling, some veggie
had
grilling?
A nice big Yule log.
That's what
they're
calling it now?
More of a Yuden log, I would say.
Yes, a Yuden log. We went camping. It was my first time doing primitive camping during a rain.
What constitutes
a hard rain?
During a rain?
A hard
Iranian.
I think it's pronounced Iran. Yeah, I was going to say.
Hard Iranian, yes.
You got a hard Iranian with you? Okay.
What were you going to ask, Darren?
What does hard camping consist of?
Primitive camping.
Oh, primitive camping. I got hard on the brain now.
Yes, you do. So primitive camping, according to my boyfriend, is you kind of like make a campsite of your own. It's not like a place you go park and camp. It's like the real way of like survivor camping. Yes. And you have to like hike to the campsite. So it's like off the beaten path. And usually there's nobody else there.
Okay.
So this is the campsite that we always go back to. There's like, you see this fire pit right there. Unfortunately, for people who are just listening, you can't see it. But
I'll wait. Let me describe it for you. There is a fire pit that she just pointed to. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I see it now.
That was for the audio. This is theater of the mind here.
Yes. Right. And we have this really cool spot that our friend Nick actually told us about. And it's right near a lake. And we're on the side of the lake that nobody knows to camp in. So all of, the campers
this
are
this isn't Lake
side.
Bodom, right? That's in Finland.
No, it's not Lake Bodom. It's
you
lake,
wish.
I forget the name of it.
Titicaca.
It's Lake Titicaca, yes. And we actually, you know, because we're hiking to this, we have to hike like an hour and a half with our gear and stuff. I'm carrying maybe like 40 or 50 pounds on my back. My boyfriend's probably carrying a little bit more. And so we can't transport water. So he has to go to the lake to get water and he filters it and that's what we drink.
Oh my God.
So that's
taste?
Pretty primitive.
It tastes all right?
Delicious.
Like Really?
No, it tastes very
fresh. It's not really primitive if you have the technological advancement of a water
pump?
Filter.
Here's what you do next
pumping.
Time. Next time, you carry up a case of Dasani and just bury it right next to the fire pit, and then you just have it for the next few trips.
Right. It's just like...
But then you're still not drinking water. You're drinking Dasani.
But it's just like when the cavemen in ancient times would dig up Dasani bottles and drink them. They naturally occur in the soil. You know that?
A caveman known as Robert Dasani.
I think it's pronounced Dazabini. No?
Wait.
Whatever it is. I don't remember.
So, hold on, I want to know more about this filtration. So it's a pump? Because I've seen like these like water.
Oh, he's got a pump.
Can you explain that? Or do you have it? Like, could you show it to us?
Show us your pump, Noah.
Avi, do you have the water pump? The filtration system? Is it available? Yeah, he's going to grab it. He also has like a survival straw that you can just like put in the lake and drink directly from like a water source.
I wouldn't trust that at all.
What if
like
a guppy swims up into the straw?
Wait, so hold on. So, and it filters within the straw, like magically, or how?
There's like minerals or something that filter. It's like the same way as a Brita filter, except portable.
Okay, but like it only has so many uses, though, right? It's not like.
Yeah, eventually you have to change the filter, just like your stuff.
I feel like that'd be asking for a mouthful of soil. I'm sorry. That's like.
Deny technology, Derinsky.
I'm not. I'm sure it does something. Like, it's better than straight up drinking the water out of the sea or whatever, but it's just...
Oh, it's right there.
It can't be good. It can't taste great.
Here.
But at that point, you're, like, drinking so you don't, like, die.
Yeah, okay, fine. If it's for that,
yeah. And then you go and you, like, pump water, and then you filter it.
Wait, so where do you... Hold on. Where do you put the water?
There's a hose. There's a hose that goes into the lake. And the first time we went and we did this, I fell into the lake because it was so embarrassing. We had to like walk alongside the edge and it was all water and we had to go onto a rock because you can't take it from standing water because it has too much bacteria. You have to get it from moving water. So I slipped and I like my ass fell before I made it to the rock. It was very embarrassing. But anyway, there's a hose that goes into this contraption that has a filter, kind of like a vacuum cleaner filter. And then you just pump the water through and then you attach it to your drinking bag, which is where we keep the water.
Oh, I see. So this whole thing is the filter.
Yes.
This whole contraption.
And it's portable enough for primitive camping.
What's the retail price on that?
I don't know. Free for me.
Very nice.
So, any other camping misadventures? Any other highlights from the? How long were you camping?
What did you eat?
A lot of marshmallows. A lot of roasted marshmallows. He also has this freeze-dried food. So, whenever we go on these trips, we actually eat really well. So, I had beef stew and beef with mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
So this was freeze dried beef stew.
Yes. So there it comes in these packets, and you boil the water on your fire. This fire right here, that was my responsibility.
Whoa!
Oh my God!
The fire! He just fell with the fire.
He's phasing in from another dimension. Phased in from the X dimension.
He's giving me the food.
So did you eat the freeze dried thing before or after you killed and skinned the live deer that you shot? Because that would be real primitive.
That's
camping.
True primitive camping. Yeah. You're bringing your BYO freeze dried is not very primitive.
Yeah. After you ate
freeze dried.
After you ate the Swanson's TV dinner, did you track down and kill a deer?
It's just a shirtless man walking through the background. Is that Bigfoot? Did we just catch Sasquatch or that picture?
Yeah, this is actually not, this is a gift. This is not actually a gift. This is, you're going to see in another 10 minutes, Bigfoot's going to walk through again and repeat.
That was something.
Well, I told you, we're still on the campsite, and,
You know, if you told me that during one of these video episodes, a shirtless man would walk through the background of one of our videos, Noah would have been a top two choice. I don't know if she would have been my top choice.
Who's the top, Sid?
I was trying to say, Bigfoot looks very distinctly Jewish.
Yes.
Manscaped Bigfoot.
Is he really Bigfoot anymore if he's not hairy? Come on.
Well,
it's the 2020s, Darren. Get with it. Bigfoot is Manscaped.
Bigfoot got with it. I can see that.
Oh, boy.
I heard he drinks out of a filter, too.
And has freeze-dried lasagna for dinner. Look at.
Imagine all the Bigfoots are sitting around like, we're going to go kill us a pig tonight. And they're like, one is like, nah, you know, I ordered these things on a Fresh Direct. They're really cool.
Is that package, is that enough for one person or for two people? What's the serving on that?
Serving size is about 2.5.
Okay.
But it's really for two people. Like, you're just so hungry after walking so much. Very strenuous. So we actually had two of these meals.
Mm-hmm.
So I ate 4 servings.
And did you take Bruno with you? Or was it just the
two? No, Bruno's too old now. He can't do it. We did it last year, and it was so fun to have him sleep in the tent with us and to witness some things that he probably could do without. But he can't do it anymore. He's on, he has heart issues. Mm-hmm. And I recently had to start giving him hydrocodone, and he's just been like a zombie. He's like so drugged up. I have to get him off of it.
You're giving him opiates?
Yep, as a cough suppressant.
Come on, he's like 97 in human years. Like, who cares? Let him enjoy it. Let him enjoy
the
drugs.
I don't know if he's enjoying it.
I meant let him enjoy the drugs, but yeah, that too. If the drugs help him.
I don't know if he's enjoying the drugs, actually.
Yeah, he's giving you no emotional readout whatsoever.
He's like very much dazed and confused.
Is he coughing less?
Yes.
So at least his throat probably feels better.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know.
Man, it's going to suck when he passes away. He's such a good dog.
I know. But he's going to be 15 in September. I mean, he's pretty active and kicking.
He can go a little, 15 is like not really ancient for a dog. It's like old, but he's not, doesn't necessarily have to be on his last legs, you know. He can go a few more years.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a reality.
When the time finally comes, you bury him next to the case of Dasani in the woods. And then you always know where both are.
In the campsite, yes.
And then you have something to drink and eat when you go.
Oh, no.
Well, he's dead. It's not like you're killing him to eat him.
Well, you know how like in Hawaii...
And what better tribute?
You know how in Hawaii they like roast the pig by burying him underground?
Mm-hmm.
Turn him into food that way.
Oh, there you go. Or just dig him up and eat him. If you get hungry, like you run out of those bags, like freeze-dried bags, you just, you know, have a little Bruno intestine or something.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't heard about Bruno, it's my dog we're talking about. Not my boyfriend.
Because that would be gross. Eating a dog is perfectly
okay. She's a survivalist. She
primitive now.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, so that was my weekend.
Sounds like fun.
I would love for all of us to one day go primitive camping and see which one of us makes it out alive.
Oh, I'd make it out alive. I'd just be annoyed the whole time.
That could be our like bonus Patreon episode that I choose.
Oh my God!
So hold on.
Look
so
at Sid's face.
I vote thumbs down.
I want a veto power, but I think Sid will use that, so I'll save my veto for
Yeah, you could
else.
Save.
Oh, we only get one.
I guess I don't know.
So how? So just to like, you drove an hour or two, right, to this campsite, and then how long did you stay there?
Just overnight.
When did you
Friday
get there?
To Saturday. We got there Friday at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock, and then we made it to the campsite like around like 3:30.
So it was a whole day thing. You were there for the whole day, basically, and then you just left first thing in the morning?
Yeah, we woke up, had coffee, ate a little, and then left like by 11 and made it out by like 1:20. And then we just ate.
Oh, so you still have to like kind of hike to the campsite. From your car? Is that what I'm getting?
Oh, it's an hour and a half hike. It's 4 different trails we have to get on.
Jeez.
It's the white trail to the red, to the black, to the egg.
Okay. Ah, yes, the egg.
Did you, so I want to backtrack here a little bit. Did you, I picked this up, maybe I heard you wrong. Were you, did you have Bruno inside the tent while you were fucking? Is that
last year?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know he didn't come on this trip. So this how did you have room for, like, it seems like you'd barely fit in that tent to begin with.
Actually, it's a very spacious tent. Fits two people, and then there's like head, like room where your head is a little bit, and then like room where your feet are.
And were you like conscious of where Bruno was the whole time? Like, did you think maybe a foot's gonna go in his snout or something?
I just learned
licking the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would just be totally thinking of that the whole time.
So when you have a dog for long enough and he's just constantly wanting to be around you, you learn to block him out when you need to.
Who was on top?
Yeah,
Bruno or
on top Noah?
Oh.
I don't remember. It was last year.
Because if the gentleman was, and he was, you know, working vigorously, then the ball slapping might appear as a chew toy to Bruno. That's not safe. That would be bad for everyone.
Hey boy. Well, it wouldn't be bad for Bruno. He wouldn't care.
Noah would never like him to the same level. She'd always hold that against him.
To be jealous? He got some of that ball love?
No, luckily Bruno's not like a toy obsessed dog, so he's cool. He's
unlike you.
was there ever
you're not a dog, it just fit too well.
No, I get it, I agree.
Was there ever a time where you were, you know, getting down and like Bruno was like, hey, get off of her, you're attacking her? Did that ever happen?
Bruno, yes. Bruno ruins the moment by farting.
Oh, wow.
You think intentionally or accidentally?
He ruins our sessions sometimes by cutting one. And he's just a fucking moment killer.
Oh, man. I got to ask you. So does he, like, march in and fart and leave? Or does he, like, he's already there and a fart just happens? Like, does he actually – can you sense that he's trying to be disruptive?
Yes, he goes, thank you for asking. He goes under the bed, lays down, relaxes himself by almost going to sleep, and then.
Ooh, yeah, Bruno's, I mean, I know old dogs' farts stink, but he is on another level.
Yeah, it sucks because it just takes us out of the moment, you know? You have to, like, concentrate a little bit during sex. And Bruno just. I mean, at least I do. I don't know. Like, I don't want to, like, start thinking about the outside world. I like just being in.
No, you absolutely have to. Yeah, no. No one is disagreeing with you.
It's a sensory experience. You don't want some cabbage stew fucking aroma coming in.
Yeah, you got to focus.
Yeah. So, yes, he does that on the regular, I guess.
On the regular. Why don't you just lock him out of the room for the time that you're in there doing it?
Well, now he's drugged up on hydrocodone, so he doesn't really get up out of bed.
But before that, like, why didn't you just isolate yourself?
Okay, another wonderful question by 3D. Because if I close the door, then he cries and scratches, and that also ruins the moment.
Ah, I see.
So we'll take a risk, you know? We'll take our chance.
Okay. I am a great interviewer. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that.
Hey, that's
very
good
follow-ups.
Very kind of you. I want all the in-depth fart sex information.
I know you're very passionate about it.
Yes, this is a topic very near and dear to my heart. it's for the audience, really. The audience needs to know these things. They need to know what you're smelling while you're getting railed.
I'm sure other people can relate. Like, I feel like this is not just a thing that happens in my household.
I'm sure. I haven't had a dog since I was 10, so.
Yeah, Buck isn't much of a cock block. She kind of just keeps her distance. And then it's just like, oh, you're done? All right.
She's scared of everything, though. Like, that's just too much activity for her to want to be around it.
Does Babka fart in, like, non-sex situations?
Yeah, does
like
she
just
fart?
I've never experienced a Babka fart, no.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
lady.
If you mean a fart after you eat babka, I'm sure you've experienced many of those.
Yes. Different thing.
But yes, we have to specify what kind of babka fart you're referring to.
Oh, I really, really miss getting babka from the Hasidim.
I was about to say, like, has everybody been on a babka blackout because of the virus?
I mean, I'll be the wet blanket because I'm not a big fan of babka. I mean, the dog, yes. The food, no.
Yeah, it's not something I ever seek out. But like Robin, no, I know it's a big part of your lives.
I wouldn't say it's a big part of my life.
You named your fucking dog after it, man. Come on.
That's
now.
True. Well, my obsession with it has peaked, like, I would say the year that I got babka.
There can only be one babka in your heart.
There can only be one babka.
Dog Highlander.
Well, honestly, it was just because at the time I was kind of like on a mission to try all the different types of babka in the city.
How many are there? Oh, sorry.
Well, there's a bunch. There's a lot.
There I realized you were about to answer what I was saying as I said it.
There's one company that essentially makes the majority of like all the prepackaged babka. And so it's like this one factory in, you know, Williamsburg. And then like, for example, Cass's Deli or Russ and Daughters, they all just put their branding on it, but it's the same babka.
Oh. The same babka factory.
Yeah, it's the same recipe. But then like there are breweries that have their own babkas. And I've since like discovered my favorite babkery, which is a place in Jewish Williamsburg, in Hasidim Williamsburg, which I believe, no, I've told you about. Did you go there, that one?
Yes, and I'm tempted to go there all the time, especially because it's so risky over there. I'm like, tempted. It's, we should explain to people outside of Brooklyn what makes it risky.
Well, as we've discussed on the show for many years, the Hasidim, the Orthodox of Orthodox Jews, they're the ones that walk around all year long with the top hats, long jackets. The children have the little side, the curly sideburns.
Hey, yes.
They're Amish people with more phlegmy speech patterns.
And so because of this whole coronavirus thing, they're very, very insular as a community to begin with. Like, they really just hang out amongst themselves.
They don't follow laws.
They have their own set of laws. It's borderline incestual, all the relationships, because it's such a small community. And really not even borderline.
Not that borderline, I was going to say.
Pretty much.
And
you jealous, Rob?
Yeah.
If you married your cousin, that's about the farthest away you get from your family.
And so they're totally, mostly ignoring all the suggested recommendations for COVID. And so the outbreak has been, like, percentage-wise, even worse in those neighborhoods. Like, if you look at a map of Brooklyn, like a heat map of
I think we just need to clarify that, like, it's just one sect of these Hasidim. It's like the suburbs in Williamsburg.
I mean, we're all Jews. We're not saying that everyone in this Zoom is a Jew right now. So we're not answering.
Oh, no. But like the Orthodox people that live like in Midwood, Darren, they're not, I mean, they're abiding by,
they're
like they're not opening.
They're Orthodox Jews. They're not,
yeah,
I think the
they're
Hasidim
not
are like a different.
They're pretty crazy too, though. But they're
yeah.
not. They're
but,
not.
But
they're not to the level
crazy.
Of Hasidim.
Yes.
they
still ingrain someone into society. If it was the Hasidim, or
yeah, that's true. They're
like,
definitely more integrated.
Sometimes we're like the Hasidim wouldn't even acknowledge me, and it's like, well, fuck you, you know, like.
Well, there's times I don't acknowledge you. It doesn't make me Hasidic.
Oh. Well, I tell you to fuck off too. So anyway, so the rate of coronavirus has been intense there because they've just been avoiding it. There was a huge funeral procession for some rabbi who ironically died of coronavirus. And like hundreds of fucking people showed up to this funeral in the middle of the square, half of them not wearing masks. It was so disgusting. And so that area is
and
also
And the
home.
Latest, they opened up a yeshiva and let the kids go in.
Multiple yeshivas
no
have been opened, and now the cops are just like, yeah, whatever.
There's, like, stores in the neighborhood that are supposed to be closed, but you just, like, pull up the gate, and you can walk in. They're just, like, sneaking people in.
I saw
a video of it.
I saw a video of that funeral, and they were, like, about to do the part. But this is the traditional licking of the corpse, and that's when the NYCD shut it down. So that could actually spread something.
Except for Cannibal Cop. The Cannibal Cop, remember him? He was there. He was the only one trying to keep it up.
Hey, these shoes ain't half bad.
He meant the flavor.
Yeah, that's
so that area is home to the Jewish bakery with the best babka that I've ever had. And they have like multiple different types of babka. And I'm too
Wait, so there's chocolate, there's cinnamon, what else?
There's wet and dry.
Yeah, there's like the big cake and then the more compressed one that's like a roll, like a more of a roll, like a pizza roll, but like sweet.
If I was going to go to like one of those Jewish bakeries, I get the sugar cookies. Those shits are great.
I love also the marble cake, like the black and white cakes. Oh,
yes.
So good. My grandma used to make that. And it just reminds me of the like one thing about my grandma that I didn't absolutely hate. It's like the one good memory I have.
So she actually let you have some? She didn't just make it and then make you wash or eat it?
Well, she would make so much that, yes, she wouldn't have
to.
She
had no choice.
She didn't let him eat it, but it was so big she couldn't prevent him at some point sneaking in and getting it.
She couldn't fit. Well, she couldn't fit in the fridge for later.
She stood watch for 16 hours until she fell asleep, and that's when he was allowed to go get
I'm envisioning like a Donkey Kong game with Rob trying to sneak a piece of cake and she's just like hitting him and throwing barrels at him.
You're joking, but it was kind of like that.
Oh!
like it just reminds me, like, you know, she would get me cake and I'd be like, oh, let me, can I get like a glass of milk to go with the cake? She's like, no, I need it for my coffee in the morning.
God damn.
Or she would say, "Nada ni malako na coffee."
Playing Babka Kong.
My God!
To all of our Russian listeners, little bonus, Rob a Russian.
What did you say?
I need milk for coffee.
Oh.
Nada malako na coffee.
Oh my God!
What she sounded like is that?
That's
like
how she sounded. Well, I'm exaggerating it, but like. She would be like, "How dare you!" Shash would be the word she would use. But anyway,
maybe her milk had booze in it, and she just didn't want you to know she was an alky. She was pounding white Russians.
I beg your pardon. Oh, he smirched his grandmother. Like
that's
that.
How Robba got here. Somebody pounded a white Russian.
Oh.
I mean, it's accurate. It's accurate. It's accurate.
It's a beautiful thing. The miracle of life.
Is the call coming from inside the house, Rob? Is it your grandma?
It might be the ghost of my grandmother.
Gross.
The gross ghost. You can give us a call, 213-WIDE-NUTS, 213-943-3688. We have area code 956. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, man, it's Ed the Beast from South Texas.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hello. What's up, Ed the Beast? How are you?
What's going on, guys? I'm all right. I'm doing all right. What's going on, man?
Are you the gentleman that was blinded and lost?
Yeah, blind amputee. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How you doing? How you holding up?
All right. Just going through some drama shit. The place where I'm at, where I'm paying rent to, is my psycho fuck uncle. Who has got off the deep end. His life is going to shit, so he's doing everything he can to get me evicted to get his place back.
Oh, no.
Oh, that sounds so stressful.
Makes Rob sound really petty with the babka story. He couldn't get any babka from his grandmother. She wasn't trying to evict him.
No, I've taken steps to start the paperwork for me getting emergency housing for the disabled. So I've got that rolling. So hopefully that goes through. I can get out here as soon as I can and leave this psycho fuck to himself.
Good.
Well, yo. I was actually about to, I'm going to put you on hold for a sec. And then we'll bring you back to get your opinion on the story I want to share. So, you know, we've been covering COVID-19, the shutdown of shows,
And we've been talking about how shows will restart. Like, what will it take to get shows back? And last week we discussed socially distanced shows. There was a show in, I believe, Arkansas, where they had basically 200 people in an 1,100-seat venue. The people showed up with their cluster of, you know, friends and family. You could sit with your family, but then, like, you would, the clusters would sit 6 feet apart. Like, the chairs would be 6 feet apart. And if it's like orchestra seating, they would sell three seats, and then the next row they wouldn't sell, and then the third row would have three seats, so on and so forth. But for one person, they thought, this won't work. This isn't going to work. We need to bring things back to as close as the original experience was pre-COVID. So this was the idea. This is the pitch. And I want to know what your guys' opinion is here. The pitch is for these hazmat suits.
What?
Are you seeing this?
Yes, I see it.
It looks like a Buzz Lightyear costume.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So I want to play this video, which is not loading.
But what janky website is this that you're using that won't have video?
Just go to Lambgoat. It's right there.
You guys are the worst.
Hey, I didn't say
anything. What do we do?
The two of them. I'm informing
you. How do we get your own website? It's not my fault. Also, you could have just told the listeners you were on Metal Sucks.
Same font.
You should close your chat boxes, Rob.
How dare you?
How fucking high is this guy?
I'm very high.
So high.
He's also probably loaded.
Rob, is there any way you could lower the sound?
Yeah, I hear this guy, not him, the news anchor.
Yeah.
Every, like, spittle in his mouth is, like, being jostled around as he speaks. And being one man has the high of suit. It's very moist.
You know what
can I just say? Can I just say, head of inventions for production club sounds like the title of a spam email you would get? Like, you're hired, head of invention for production club. Click here.
I'm calling from cardholder services.
It sounds like one of those weird emails I get to the noah@metalinjection.net where it's like pitches for the website that I forward to Rob, and then he's like, Noah, this is spam.
Yeah. I just working on the Firefest. I have very strong resume. I design many things for the Jarul. This is Trot guy.
The who? With the who?
The Jarul. Where is Ya? We need to know what Ya thinks about this asthmat suit.
It gets look, better, guys. It gets better.
You can vape. You can drink. You got a, like, you know, those a helmet that on either side of the helmet there is like a beer and you drink it. This asthmat suit has something like this too.
Actually.
Okay. Ooh, butt shot.
I admire that they're like, look, people aren't going to be socially distant. We got to figure. I admire at least the setup here. But then the solution is where they lose me.
Yeah,
We need to find a solution where people do not get sick. And when I say solution, I mean a way to bring them all outside together, but to confuse them into thinking that he's safe so I can make a lot of money.
Wait, Rob, here's the thing. Like, you're right. It's cool that he's thinking and he's realizing people will go out no matter what. But I don't think his idea is at the level where it, like, warrants a news story.
Well, I think it does warrant a news story of how absurd it is. But yes, let's keep watching. There's another minute to this. just imagining this brainstorming session of like, all right, we need, listen, we are losing money, okay? We are a production company. We cannot put on any shows.
Production club.
Our production club cannot put on any shows because we cannot have shows. So how can we have shows? Okay, we put everybody, we give them a suit. They wear a suit. Everybody wear a suit. But wait, when you go to a show, what do you want to do? You don't want to just wear a suit and watch the show. You want to drink. You want to smoke. You want to vape. I know. Put the drink and the vape in the suit. That is brilliant.
Wait, how does the drink reach their mouth? Like, I get hotboxing the suit, but how does...
It's the same filter as the one you use to get that lake water, Noah. You put it to your fucking face.
You use it 3 times, and then everything soil coming into. We still have to work. There's still a lot of soil coming in to the filter. This is the guy that Hank Azaria was based on in The Birdcage.
Yes, yes.
I get more like an Enrique Iglesias vibe.
Yeah, that's so.
He's not talking to anyone. Nobody's returning this guest.
I want to point out, he's like, oh, well, if we do limited space, then everyone can't afford to go because of limited space, they're going to have to charge more, is the theory. So we have these suits. Now, this is where, like, it's already absurd, but let's just go with it. Okay, sure, it's a suit. You can't get COVID. You can enjoy the show. You can go and enjoy the show. You can like mosh, whatever, fine. But here is where it absolutely, like, this will never work. This part right here. What?
From his crotch? Wait, what? What did he say? Can you rewind that? We have
from
I'm
scratch.
Not,
from
I'm
scratch.
Not, I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to do. I'm not trying to invent everything from his crotch. But it sounded
Let's
like.
See. From his crotch. Well, I want to point out, so he said that I don't want to limit people to be able to go, so I want them to have these suits. But to get these suits, he envisions that the venues will have these suits for rent. Can you imagine trusting a venue to rent a hazmat suit?
It's like bowling shoes. You want to put your feet
in the bowling. Like, can you imagine someone who's been in this suit for 4 hours, giving their own version of Bruno farts.
Right.
And then you gotta wear it. You gotta wear the secondhand. Get the fuck out of here.
But also, besides how gross it is, it's also defeating the purpose. Like, if that person had COVID, it's in the suit, you dumb motherfucker.
Do you trust the venue to properly sanitize these things?
Exactly. I do not. I barely trust them to sanitize the cups that I'm drinking the alcohol out of. At least the alcohol is in there to kill the germs.
And also, like, how are they going to handle, like, sizing issues? Are they going to have enough suits for every size of person that's coming to these shows?
It is one size fits all. You may have to, like, suck it in a little bit. Or maybe,
I mean,
like,
we've seen the kind of people that go to metal shows. They're going to need a lot of big suits.
I have a question, sir. What if you need to puke right away and you go in the suit?
Good question, Noah. You are a great interviewer.
Interviewer.
Thank you. What we have designed a third filter that go right in the shoulder that will catch all of the puke and any other bodily fluid that will come, and it will run down your leg and out into your shoe. Also, I have a breaking news. I have a special bulletin. I have another invention. And it's an invention that will allow you to have relations with your significant other and no smell the farts from your dog. Even inside of a tent.
I need two of those, please.
I cannot disclose I cannot disclose the design of my new invention at the moment. As soon as I do, you will be the first to receive your suit.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. For nada.
So, well, so we don't know how much this is going to cost.
Yeah, there's no cost. There's no. It's essentially an idea this guy had,
yeah.
and NBC gave him some publicity, but. The thing that strikes me as so wild is, like, the moment you really, like, you really start talking about it and thinking about it, it could never work. It's just, there's so many roadblocks from the different sizes. Like, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You're going to have, like, you know, small to triple XL, quadruple XL, whatever. And what if they're out of your size? What if you show up? What if it's a show with 200 mediums and 3 larges? So they're out of mediums.
I got it. You got to reserve the suit before you get there when you buy your ticket and you say which one you need. And then they stop selling that size after a certain time when they run out.
But then that, I feel like that opens them up for a lawsuit. Because if they're like, oh, sorry, you're too big to go to this show. We sold out of that size. Like,
I can only solve one problem at a time here.
Yeah.
I guess they would at least know how many suits they would have to accommodate. And if they're low, they could buy more. But then it's like, how much do these suits cost? And what would, like, and are you paying a fee to rent this suit? Is this fee in your ticket? You know, like, who is leading this charge? And, like, because it's going to cost money to disinfect.
Yeah. Ticketmaster.
So we talked about, like, those shows, like, those silent shows where you just hear the performers in your headphones.
Yep.
Remember that?
Right.
And how, like,
yes.
stupid that looks. Just imagine being in a venue with all these people wearing Buzz Lightyear suits. And how
I
much that will take you out of the moment.
Be like a 50s Japanese 50s Japanese space monster movie.
Yeah.
Like when the Neptune men come and they try to attack.
Also, though, I've been to those like quiet concerts. I attended a few in NAMM at NAMM.
Rave?
Because it's No, it'd be like a demo on the show floor, but. They wouldn't amplify it. You would just go and get headphones, which they would disinfect before giving to you. And you just listen on the headphones. So it's like a shortwave radio band. And it's great. It's not awkward at all. Like once you kind of get into it, once the music starts, it's like, oh, it sounds like you're just at a concert.
Okay.
Or the flight rave.
Another like question. Most, like, especially rock concerts that I've gone to, it gets very, very hot in the venue, even when you're not wearing a hazmat suit over your suit clothes.
Oh, yeah, let's ask the guy the question.
So, like, how do you keep properly ventilated?
Well, we have a little midgets. I don't know what is the proper term. They will be inside the suit rubbing your leg with ice. So this
have
is
they
not
been
a...
tested?
This is, well, we're working on that. I cannot disclose all the information.
God.
But, yeah, one midget on each side and each pant leg, and they will be rubbing you down with the ice or maybe like popsicles or something like this.
There is.
Good question, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think Darren made a really good point earlier that, like, this suit is basically the Firefest suit.
Seriously.
Well, like I was just, when I wrote about this earlier today, I joked that like I once smelled the Gwar costumes.
Oh.
Like,
oh.
And like how bad they smelled. Like I could only imagine the stink is probably exponentially worse because that's one person's stench
right.
collected over a period of time. These are multiple people's stenches buried into that fucking suit.
And that's only one person that ever has to subject. He's choosing to subject himself to that suit. Like this is would be mandatory to go to the show.
Yeah.
And they know who's been in their own suit, them, and that's it.
Yeah.
Not like this mystery shit.
Yeah. Like when I was watching this initially, I was under the assumption that the consumer would purchase the suit and just own a suit that they would wear to shows. I didn't realize that I'm assuming these suits are probably priced to be so expensive that it doesn't make sense for a consumer to buy the suit. It only makes sense for the venue to buy the suit and you rent it from them.
But also, like, on top of that, like, if it was the consumer that owned the suit, how would the venue be sure that the suit was, like, actually functional and still had its integrity?
Right.
And worked?
Great point as well.
Know? So the venue would have to be the ones to own it.
So, Elsa, why does it need to be neon purple and pink? What is that about?
Exactly.
Like, can't just be, like, a regular color?
He said they wanted to make it fashionable so it doesn't look like a medical outfit.
Okay, so when are they going to do that?
Fashionable.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I did not mention that I am colorblind, so I do not see color. And that is why maybe the color scheme not so good to start. We will work on it. I cannot disclose at the time other colors that we are thinking about right now.
The next one will be in dime slime and baby blue.
What is dime slime? Yes.
Dime slime is like Dimebag's signature green color.
Yeah, that's what oozed out of him when he got shot on stage.
From the guitar.
That was I should have known that. That was the third verse of that Nickelback song. I talked about all the dime slime.
Making that joke at my expense.
You got
it's not at your expense. It's at the dead guy's expense.
But I brought it up.
That's true.
Also, I have fired the guy who suggested dime slime for the color. He was a pendejo hijo de puta. I'm not dealing with him anymore.
Rob, do we want to get our caller's take on this? Is he still on hold?
He hung up.
You treat him so poorly, Rob. Like it's such a rush to get him off the phone.
Well, he didn't have a question. He was asking us what was up, so I was trying
to
create a subject.
When people call radio, we're the ones who's supposed to engage them. They don't have the questions.
Right. It's bad enough that this dude is blind. You've made him mute as well. You've taken all everything from him.
And
you know what? You guys talk to him next time.
I would. Listen, he has such an interesting life that I feel like even when he thinks in his mind that he has nothing to say, we can dig something at it.
Yeah.
That's a real...
This is an unbelievable pylon. I don't know.
I'm sorry, Rob. I didn't mean it.
That's what you did on your Memorial Day weekend.
Pylon?
An unbelievable pylon.
He went up the highway picking up pylons that had fallen over.
He's a collector.
Look at this. This is an unbelievable pylon.
First pressing.
I tried to clean that up.
Dane has some comments in the chat. He writes, I'd wear the hazmat suit to a Lamb of God show, probably some good padding going from the stage. And then Judarino chimes in, get your Lamb of God airbags at the merch table.
Rob, I can't believe you read those. They're usually so anti that joke.
I am anti that joke, but I wanted to get it out.
It's very funny.
Dane also says, 16-year-old Robin can get away with this. Just need a gas mask bong from Spencer Gifts. I want to tell you, Dane, I tried a gas mask bong once in my life and never again.
Oh, do tell. Did I know you?
Well,
I mean, I guess
yeah.
I did.
Well, yeah. You've known me my entire pot journey. I think Frank has one, actually. I think it was Frank's. I forget where. It was actually your house, I feel. Noah, your old, like, party house.
In my house?
Yeah, I don't remember where it was. But what I do remember is, it was, it was a Nick's basement.
Oh, makes more sense that way, yes.
And I tried it out. So basically, it's a mask, it's a full-on gas mask. And then where the mouth, like, where the air would be, is a just like a plastic cheap bong, which I guess you could fill with water. And then, like, the mouth of the bong is just permanently attached to the gas mask. You cannot remove the bong from the mask. So you're breathing, essentially, through the bong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. When you start smoking, like, the entire mask fills with smoke, including, like, where your eyes are. And guess what? Hot smoke burns your eyes. So it's completely uncomfortable. It's like, why does anyone need this? Just like a bong is fine. You don't need the gas mask bong, people.
It's not like it's anything else, like people have to do the new version of this thing that they like, you know? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now it's even passe because everything is about dabbing,
Oh, okay.
Which is that contraption that
when we had Travis from Cattle Decaf, his friend, brought over. But I'm a traditionalist, old school, analog, flower,
blunt,
and a bong. No, I like the bong. Although I've been turned on, I can't roll.
Oh, wow, TMI.
I am very turned on. No.
Was it when Noah talked about the threesome with her dog? Is that what what did it?
I've been turned. So I can't roll.
No, it's choking in a mask. That's what turns them on.
I can't roll because I'm useless. So I've never been able to roll. I can roll the shittiest joints. Blunts, I guess, are a little easier. But even so, I'm not a good blunt roller. Not like some of the experts that we know. And I was always a fan of like raw papers. They would do these pre-rolled cones, which are really nice. And like they're, you know, it's just like a paper and you kind of stuff it. You stuff it with the weed. So you don't have to worry about doing the rolling. But then I was always like, oh, I mean, like papers are nice, but I, you know, occasionally it's like, oh, it'd be really nice to smoke a blunt. And I was never able to find pre-rolled blunts until now. There is a company called King Palm, and I'm a very big fan of their product, and they make pre-rolled blunts. Like, there's nothing.
They heard your cries. They heard your cries, Rob.
And
well, Rob.
It's in different sizes. So, like, I had ones initially, I bought ones that were like twice the size, and it's just like, this is too much for like one. It's like a party blunt, you know? I can't be rolling party blunts all the time. So, this is like a much more, this is like a half gram container. So, it works well. And it's a natural leaf. I don't even think it's tobacco. So, it's very exciting. And King Palm, if you would like to sponsor me, I'm available. That's a free read for you.
I also want to read one more thing in here.
The chat?
Yeah, if I can find it. Oh, I lost it.
Oh. We'll just wait.
Sorry. It was good, too. Oh, well.
Deuterino asks, I want to hear Sid's description of a hazmat suit for a leftover crack show and what that would be like.
There wouldn't be one. The suit would just run the fuck away before the show even started. No.
Deuterino also adds, there's no hazmat suit big enough for Sway's schmata.
Yeah, that was
very,
it.
Very excellent, deep cut. Like, we haven't brought up Sway's schmata in years.
Well, is Sway really that relevant at this point?
He's still around.
He's relevant in our world. And I learned something new. You know, Sway could also be considered to be wearing a pashmina.
Oh, is that right?
I thought that like, goes over like your upper chest or something, no?
I feel like you could put it over the head also.
All right.
The pashmina is large enough to cover, you know, quite a bit of area. Face area.
Well, then you just do any. You could take a sweater and ball it up and put it on your head.
No, isn't pashmina like a material? It's not a type of garment. It's just what it's made out of. Pashmina is like cashmere or something. I don't think a pashmina is a thing you wear.
It's a scarf.
It would be like a pashmina scarf or a pashmina vest or a pashmina headdress.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I think I recently heard it. Posh. Mina. So I just learned about it and I have to look it up to see what it means. And
I
believe it said scarf, like a cashmere.
I think
Mina
refers to a fine variant of spun cashmere, the animal hair fiber forming the downy undercoat of the Chikangi goat.
So you can make different varying things out of pashmina.
Yes. The word pashm means wool in Persian.
Pashbani.
I believe it's pronounced Pashmabini. Well, I don't know. I don't really know.
That's if
know.
You wear it on your head with a propeller.
Pashmina beanie? Robert Pashmina beanie or whatever his name is? Episode title.
So it's just a fabric. Yeah.
Wait, so is it like the material or the fabric?
It's Well, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the difference between material and fabric?
The material is like the thread, I guess I would think of it, and the fabric is like a piece, which could be constituted as a scarf.
It would be the material.
That's what the fabric's made out of.
Yeah. The material.
Oh.
So we learned something today.
I knew it before. I just want to say that on the record.
You did.
I thought I did. I wouldn't say it was 100% done to my head.
Darren has a very lucrative history in the fabric business, like a true New Yorker.
Is that an anti-Semitic statement? No?
A true Jewish New Yorker.
Something like that, yeah. I'm a greedy Jewish fabric designer, a retailer.
It wasn't anti-Semitic. It was just like another thing about Jewish people.
That could be the name of our podcast.
Another thing about Jewish people? It's not the name of our podcast. It's the number one negative review on iTunes. Another thing about Jewish people?
Oh, man.
Oh, the second most common one. Mezuzahs again?
That just reminded me, though, I was just recently thinking about, like, I don't know if you recall, I believe we brought this up on the show, but, like, you once worked for a fabric distributor guy or whatever,
designer.
And, like, a designer, and...
Aha! Projection! He said I did. It was you all along.
What?
It's projection. She said I worked for a fabric designer.
Oh,
she
I did. See.
It was really her.
I thought you were talking to me. But then you also got me a job there, and, like, we found, like, gay porn on his computer, right?
Why were you on his computer? Like, he allowed
you? He was looking for gay porn.
No, I was...
I'm just going to take a stab in the dark and hope there's some gay porn. There is! There it is!
Wow, Eureka!
No, Rob was
the webmaster.
No, he hired me to, like, upscale some, like, images from, like, 100 years ago that didn't have copyright anymore that he was going to sell as, like, prints. So that's why I was on his computer. It was, like, a temp job, but no one got me. So, anyway, I was wondering, like, whatever happened to that guy?
Can I do a follow-up question? So, like, was he... a very buttoned-up, like, conservative guy that you would not expect to have gay porn? Or was he, like, a flamboyant guy?
She said he was a fashion designer.
He was flamboyant to the point that you would assume that he was gay, but then he would talk
However,
about his daughter.
He had three daughters.
Oh, three
he
daughters.
Was married.
So he tried to portray that he wasn't gay, or, you know, some gay people can be married with kids and don't.
I mean, I guess I didn't know him personally and what his deal is with his wife, but it seems
a
guy who had, like, a double life.
Gotcha.
Or his wife could be very well aware of it. They could have an agreement. He could be bi. He could be pansexual. We don't want to box him into a label.
Let's ask, was his wife Liza Minnelli?
What did his wife look like, Noah? I never.
Oh, God, I don't remember. I barely remember what he looked like.
Liza Minnelli.
For some reason in my head, I know it's not what he looked like, but I just see, this is a slightly obscure reference, but, oh, gee, I've got that.
She's clapping for the workers.
Having
a
dream.
She's having a
dream.
He reminds me of Dave Portnoy, the owner of Barstool Sports. I don't know if you guys even catch that reference, but that's the image I have in my head.
I barely remember what he looks like, but I remember what his hands look like.
Oh, boy.
They're very, like, stubby and, like,
the opposite of man hands that you like, you're saying.
Yeah. It looked like his thumb got cut in half.
My grandpa had that. He was a tailor, and he had that because the sewing machine chopped part of his finger off.
Do you mean his thumb or, like, the nail was cut in half? The whole thumb or just the thumbnail?
He was missing a piece of his finger, my grandpa,
like,
at least.
It's like the Megan Fox thumbs.
What?
Have you ever seen Megan Fox? Like, gorgeous Megan Fox has the unfortunate thumb.
She fucked up thumbs? I didn't know.
Oh, that's like it's like a medical condition. I know what you're talking about.
Can you put it on the screen?
It's called Megan Fox thumbs? That's the
Yeah, it's like Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
That's the condition. Yeah, I'll put it on the screen.
She was the first one to have it discovered. Like Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, gosh.
Do you see it?
That's not that bad.
So she's got toe thumbs.
Yeah. Or it looks
that's
like,
what that's called.
It looks like a child's thumb.
No, I believe there's a medical term for it.
Yeah, Megan Fox thumb.
Club thumbs? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Are toe thumbs normal?
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
What causes a club thumb? It's an inherited condition. So it's just genetic.
Try reading that first word.
Yeah, good luck, Rob.
Brachydactyly.
Brachydactyly.
That's the name
of
the
condition.
Noah, say it brachydactyly.
Brachydactyly.
Well,
yeah,
anyway.
We're not going to read this.
I would like to announce that the suits will have a special slot for people with the deformed thumbs. so that they can also enjoy this concert.
I do want to talk about this study, which I'm very excited
about.
Oh! Finally, my pot habit has paid off. Because this study claims marijuana can fight off COVID-19 infection. I'll spare you the text, but
you just don't want Sid to point out all your grammar.
I was already looking.
can pot stop brachydactyly? That's what I want.
So it's still an early. It's early in the research, but. Scientists look at 400 different strains of weed, and they found that 13 strains, particularly sativas high in CBD, are able to downregulate the protein reception ACE2, which is the same part of the lungs that coronavirus targets. It's in the lungs, mouth, and gastrointestinal tract. Basically, the weed strains target the same receptors as the virus. Because, you know, like some of the symptoms of coronavirus is shortness of breath, all this stuff that, like, you could get after smoking too much weed. Which is why, like, sometimes when I smoke weed, I would get, like, 20 minutes later, I'd be like, oh, no, I have shortness of breath. It's like, oh, no, I just smoked. Relax, Rob. But, so they're saying because these pot strains attack the same things, that like those receptors are occupied by the weed, so the coronavirus can't get to it.
But wouldn't that be, you know, the case for anything you smoke then, or just specifically weed?
It's not, it's specifically certain strains of weed. It's not even all weed.
Uh-huh.
It's certain subsects. And again, it's very early in the research. The research has not been
peer-reviewed.
Is this prevention or like a cure, like a treatment?
No, it is not a treatment. It is prevention. It prevents COVID from getting in your system.
So would you just have to constantly be smoking anytime you're outside to keep it, like, how long does it last after you smoked before you're at risk again?
So here's what they're saying. They're saying that research say that if proven to be effective, using a spray containing the cannabis may be a way to ward off the virus. Ward off the virus. Where's my ass? What's going on here?
That one go.
Ward it off.
Hey virus, I'm walking.
Hey virus, not on. Go fuck yourself.
What'd you say about that non-virus? You don't talk about my mother like that. You hear me?
Hey, COVID-19, juggle my cool yarns with your tongue. How about that? Fucking scumbag.
COVID you, pal!
I'll ward you off. I'll ward off fucking H1N1, fucking swine flu, fucking bird flu.
Hey, COVID-19, why don't you get
COVID-18, 17, 16, and 50, and I'll go fuck yourself.
This reminds me, New York One has this little like promo commercial they run sometimes, and it's just like positive messages about coronavirus like throughout the city. Like there's like a movie theater marquee that says like we're all in this together and a bunch of stuff like that. But one of them is just like graffiti on the side of a building that someone wrote that says "Step off, coronavirus." Like, who thought to write that? I was like, all right, coronavirus sees that. They're like, well,
back off, my nut.
I'm out of here.
I see pictures of coronavirus on the fucking news. It's just a fucking purple rubber ball with thumbtacks in it. We're staying inside for this. I'll get my fucking stickball bat and I'll crush it over the fucking roof. Fuck out of here.
Send it to Jersey. Oh my God.
It's treated as an adjunct therapy. So it's not, it would be an additive thing, not the essential part of it. So we would still need a vaccine.
Yeah.
But they're saying this is something that could like ward it off while we find it. It's kind of the idea.
Let us know.
But I'll be making sure to keeping my bong packed just to be safe.
Yeah.
Now wait, are you smoking the right strain that gets rid of this or no?
I'm smoking every sativa I can just to make sure.
Okay. But at the same time, like, are you taking your bong outside and smoking it? To as a preventative measure?
Yeah.
Or a mask.
No, he's making sure there's weed in his system at every second of the day, just so that.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't let anyone walk next to you while you smoke the weed outside as a preventative measure, because they'll wind up in prison.
No, they'll just get coronavirus. That's the new version.
But that was my favorite story of the week. We got our buddy back from Texas.
Hey.
I won't hang up on him this time.
Thank you.
956.
Ed.
Yo, I'm back.
Ed.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Ed.
Oh, nothing. I had to hang up. I had to hang up because I had an important phone call to make. And after I was done, I came back on.
Well,
was it to tell your uncle off?
No, because if I did that, he would end up in the hospital, not me.
Oh snap!
I'm going about it the right way. I'm just leaving him alone, and he leaves me alone. I'm just gonna try to get out of here the fast as I can.
And, what part of Texas are you in? You say South Texas, but like what? Whereabouts?
Yeah, deep South Texas. If you ever heard of South Padre Island.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in that area.
Island in Texas?
Well, it's like where the spring break people are. There was like something in the news the other day about how there was like a crazy spring break celebration going on over, or Memorial Day celebration going on over there. Nobody was social distancing. Like yesterday, it is in the news.
Yeah, it got pretty crazy down here, yeah.
Did you go?
Did you have a pina colada on the beach?
No. I don't do that scene anymore, but I did used to do it when I was in high school, and I did work the clubs there as a bouncer many years ago. So I know how crazy it can be.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
What's that?
What's the most fucked up thing you saw when you were bouncing?
I've got a good story about that, man. Remember that dude? That had that fucking hit single. Damn it, I can't remember. He was tall, lanky. He had a weird. Huh?
Smell Your Dick. Was it that one? Oh, that was a woman.
No, not Smell Your Dick. No. Fuck, he had a funky nose. He was a black guy from.
Bruno Mars?
Funky nose.
Funky Cole Medina.
Is it Bruno Mars?
No. It wasn't Bruno Mars. Damn it, I can't remember the hit single he had.
Close?
Yeah, he was a tall, lanky black guy. Tall, lanky black guy. He had a funky nose. Huh?
No, with the fake nose, remember? I remember.
Yeah,
Humpty Hunk.
Digital
Underground.
Oh,
yeah. Humpty Hunk.
Humpty
Hunk, yeah, thank you.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Hello,
Humpty Hunk.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one. That guy. So he comes in to the club I'm working at. Yeah. He comes into the club I'm working at with his entourage, but his head of security asked my boss if they could throw in a couple additional guys from us. So my boss picked me and another partner of mine. So we're just basically going to follow him around. Okay, fine, no problem. So he goes upstairs to the second floor of the club, and he has to take a piss. Okay, fine. So his entourage plus my two guys were just, you know, standing outside the bathroom. Well, his head of security in with two chicks, and they go into the men's bathroom. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, okay, I know. All right, okay, fine, whatever. So he's in the men's room by himself with two chicks. Why the men's bathroom? I have no fucking idea, but that's what he did. So we're standing there outside the men's bathroom for 15 fucking minutes while he's doing his thing.
What year
and
was
then
this?
When
did, like, how long ago was this?
This was back in, I worked, this was Louis' backyard on the island. This was 97, 98, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if Shock G from Digital Underground is still getting, you know, party threesomes going on now, that would be very sad for the world.
Yeah.
Back then,
yeah.
He was still famous.
No, that
makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. No, that was back in about 97. That's when I was working there for a year. Yeah.
Okay. Though even then, like, Digital Underground was sort of not really mainstream anymore. Like, Tupac was long dead by then. Or wait, no, was Tupac dead by then? Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And he was already gone from that band for a while.
So that was the craziest story? Just a threesome?
That was a good story.
I mean, it's good, but it seems relatively tame.
Yeah, I mean, he told us he got busy in a Burger King bathroom, so this isn't as bad as
that. Did you ever have to kick anyone out? Did you ever have to, was anyone ever aggressive with you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've got battle scars all over my body. Let's see. Well, it's okay. At the same place, Louis' backyard, during Holy Week, it's this Catholic thing down here, a week before Easter, we call it Holy Week. So the Mexican nationals, because we're right here on the border, they come over to party on the clubs. So since the island is right there next to the border, all the Mexican nationals come over, party, whatever. Well, the thing is, in Mexico, there's no curfew. All the bars are open pretty much all fucking night. In Texas, 2 a.m. is the cutoff. Okay? So we're talking, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 people in this club. And so they do last call, all right? Okay, so everybody's winding down. I go upstairs to clear the second floor, and there's a group of Mexican nationals still partying it up. I go, and I tell them in Spanish, hey, guys, it's time to go. 2 o'clock is the shutoff. And one of them – huh?
Did you say vámonos? Amigos?
Yeah. Well, something like that. In a more aggressive voice, but yeah. So one of them turns around and says, hey, Vato, do you know who I am? Like, no, I don't, and I don't care to. It's 2 a.m. It's time to go. He comes up right in my face, and he goes, you don't want to fuck with me, I say. I was like, what? No. Listen, in Texas, it's 2 a.m. You got to go. Or I call the cops, plain and simple. And his two dudes, his two friends, get up from their seats and approach me. And they're like, meet away. I'll give you $500 right now if you let us stay. And I go, look, sir, even if I were to do that, you'd still get escorted off the premises because the cops are going to come and escort you off. Like, at 2 a.m., there's nobody supposed to be here. So, no, I can't do it. No. So then the first guy, he was like, he puts his hand on my shoulder and pats it. He goes, hey, man, let me tell you something. Let me tell you who I am. I said, no. And then right when he pats my shoulder, I grab it with my with my right hand, and I twist it. So I put him in a elbow lock. I said, sir, that's physical contact that I did not want. So I'm putting you in an elbow lock. Tell your boys to back off or break your fucking elbow. So he goes, okay. I'll get you later. I say, I'll get you later. I say, fine. Fucking get me later, but I'm always getting you out of the fucking building. And they walked out, but I'm like, he was fucking, later on I find out he's some kind of fucking cartel dude. I don't know what the fuck. I don't care. Fucking cartels are all over the place here anyways. Now another happening that this one fucking went down bad. So, we get the college, we've got college kids all over the place, right? So fucking one night, five dudes from the Michigan football team, whatever the Wolverines, Michigan Wolverines. Mm-hmm. Okay, this guy, I'm checking in IDs, taking hash, whatever. This fucking guy, I shit you not, was 18 years old, just a kid, fucking 6'10", 320 pounds. I'm like, fuck you, this is a fucking wall. I go, look, man, you're a big dude, you want to have some fun, you want to party, but you can't drink. Yes, sir, I understand. Yes, I just want to have some good time. So I put in those big X's on his hands, mm-hmm. so he couldn't drink. All right, so I let him in. 20 fucking minutes later, I have to go hauling ass up to the second floor for backup because guess what? He had been drinking the whole 20 minutes. He got fucking loaded, and he started a fight. There's a huge fucking fight on the second floor. Fucking chairs are flying around. He is going fucking ballistic. I don't know why, because it's just booze. I don't know if he the first time drinking or what. But, I mean, I had to take down this fucking wall. So I basically jumped on his back and got him in a chokehold, and it was basically 8 seconds of fucking riding a bull. But I was able to choke him out, get him on the ground. We called the cops, and it took fucking, I think it was 5 of us to get him downstairs. I mean, this guy was fucking huge and just a kid. It was fucking nuts.
Get an autographed jersey
afterwards?
Huh? Did he give you an autographed jersey afterwards?
No. Hey, no. Okay, speaking of autographs, same place.
No.
There was a pet house pet visiting spring break 98. I went back the next year. Yeah, 98. Pet house pet was making rounds at the bars. I forgot her name, man, but she was fucking hot. She comes in. She has one bodyguard with her, but she wanted two more additionals. Okay, fine. So I actually asked my boss, hey, can I take this detail? And he goes, yeah, sure. Just watch her, have some fun, whatever. And so she's walking around. Me and her bodyguard are just, you know, making sure everything's cool. She's there for about an hour, you know, drinking it up and everything. So we escort her back to her limo. And I was about to close the door, and she goes, what's your name? My name's Eddie. And she goes, you want to come with us? Like, I don't know. I have to ask my boss if you'll let me, because I'm still on the clock. So she goes, well, call your boss over. Okay, fine. Well, my boss is the actual was the chief of police there on the island. All right, fine. So he goes, yeah, we're good here. Go ahead, man. Just, you know, look after her, have some fun. All right, fine. So I get in the limo, and her bodyguard is a fucking big dude. We're talking like 6'8", 350, all right? And but he's cool. So we're driving around the island. And she like, you want an autograph picture of me? But, yeah, sure. But it wasn't a normal headshot. It was like a spread eagle fucking shot. So I was like, wow, fucking A. And we're in the limo, and we're talking it up, and she pulls out a little bag of Coke. I was like, ooh, okay. I'm not really a Coke guy, but yeah, sure.
Where did you pull it out of?
she was actually carrying a little bitty purse that only had Coke in it. I don't know. Okay, whatever. So I took a couple bumps to, you know, just have some fun.
Right, it keeps the party going.
She was like, you want to come back to my hotel? I'm inviting a few people. We're going to have a party there. All right, yeah, sure. Yeah, why not? So we get up to her hotel room. It's her bodyguard, two other pet house pets, and just some people that, you know, that know them or whatever. So, yeah, we had a little party there. I had a lot of fun. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You rolled into an orgy?
No. After a while, we went into her room. It was just me and her. So I had a good time.
You don't remember her name. You hooked up with a penthouse pet, but you don't remember her fucking name. Come on, man.
No, but I do. I
do know
her.
He just signed the shit out of her.
Now, I want to ask
you
that.
Sorry, what was that?
I want to know if there's any identifying qualities of hers that we can see who he hooked up with.
Yeah, well, actually, I still have her autographed picture she gave me somewhere amongst all my boxes. I still kept it, to be honest with you. Yeah, I still kept that fucking picture.
You can't see. What, are you going to have a nurse, like, go through it to find the penthouse picture?
Oh, what a curse.
Yeah, well, but my assistant, who's been with me for 7 years, yeah, she's cool. I could ask her to find it.
Oh, cool,
yeah. Please, we'd like to know. Now, I want to know, did you suffer from any coke dick while hooking up with this penthouse pet? Because it's like, hey,
No, I only did like a couple of bumps, so it didn't really affect it much.
I see. So by the time you already got to the hotel, the coke is like you weren't high on coke anymore.
Yeah, because we pretty much went all over the island just checking out shit, and I was like pointing out points of interest, whatever.
Hot coke, you could taste the baking soda.
No, for not being coke from here, which is like pure, the shit she had was actually pretty good.
Okay.
Good. Did you share some with the Iron Sheik?
Fucking never. Bullshit.
This blind motherfucker, he only have one arm. He should share with me. I have the two arms. I can do more coke than him, motherfucker. But no, he only give me a little bit.
Oh, man.
Well, once we get to the Sheik, I think that's a good place to wrap. What about you guys?
All right.
I think it's good. Thank you so much for your call and the wonderful stories about Penthouse.
Yeah.
Let us know if you're able to find that photo.
Yeah, I definitely will, man.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have to get out of here, but thank you again. Edwin, right?
Edwin.
Ed the Beast.
Ed the Win.
Sure.
And we're going to get out of here. I do want to remind everyone, we are on social media. We're on all the platforms. We're on Twitter. All of us are on Twitter. Metal Injection Livecast is MI Livecast on Twitter. I am Rob Injection on Twitter. Noah is Noah Injection on Twitter. Darren
and
is
Instagram.
Darren Injection on Twitter, and Sid is Bland Injection on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The live cast is also on Instagram, in addition to Noah and myself. Metal Injection Live Cast is the handle, and we're on Facebook. We post every day. We'd love for you to give us a follow. And you know, if you listen to a podcast app, why don't you write a review of our show on that app, especially on the Apple podcast app? It really helps us get featured and maybe get some new listeners. So if you like what you hear, leave us a little review. We'd appreciate it. And of course, the only thing left is to talk about our top livecast fans of the week. To be a top livecast fan of the week, you just have to contribute $10 a month. And at the end of every episode, we will, in fact, give all of our top livecast fans of the week a shout out. And I would like to do them this week. And this week, we've got Eric. We've got Rabba Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin. Benjamin, L. Deuterino. This one's a tongue twister. I don't want to ruin it. Cynical Sids, Cynic Cynicism.
Could you do the rest in your Brooklyn accent?
Then we got Dan All. Hey, what's your problem, Dan All? Kettle Decaf, my mother don't like you. She said some bad things about you. We got some problems, Kettle Decaf. Mindy Mayers Kipper, you're a wonderful person. I forgive you. Croc Destroyer, my ass. Damn, I am. You is a dumb shit. That's what you is.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Then we got Justin. Justin, time to get the hell out of here. Then we got Jander, a yonder. Who cares? Then we got Shasusha. How about you get yourself an American name? This is America. Then we got LaCroix. I enjoy your seltzer. Then we got the crustacean sensation, aka God Stomper. Why do you gotta stomp God? Jesus isn't all of us. Don't stomp Jesus. Then we got Ash Bozaloff. Bozaloff, on out of here, you dumb shit.
Everyone's a dumb shit.
Then we got Dallas. I prefer Houston. Then we got Rama Vampiro. 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 Then we got Shane. And then we got, oh, God. It's Josh, you dipshit. Those are our top live cast fans of the week. And you can get a shout out like that by contributing $10 a month at patreon.com/metalinjection live cast. We're all done. We're all out of time. There's only one thing left to do, and that's dance.
Why?
I like to dance.
Oh, what can top that?
Yeah. Bro, pour that water on yourself.
Won't be long till I see you guys again.
Hi, everyone.
It ain't smart to leave a track, 'cause I'll find it when I'm back. It ain't smart to leave a track, 'cause I'll find it when I'm back. Yeah. Wave on, brother. Push and pull.
That's so fun. Okay,
I like the angry shout outs. That was that's a keeper.
They all just canceled, by the way. I just got the alert.
Yeah, they want their money back. Okay, I'll see you guys later.
Bye bye.
Bye. I'll sync the episode when it's done.
Okay, if you can send me a text.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Bye.